one of our saints from Sarasota, Florida. Wonderful woman, Margaret Taylor. Hopefully we'll all get to meet her one day. I told her to turn to the book of Malachi one day, and I sarcastically said the Italian prophet Malachi. And from that time on, she started calling me Malachi. So we're going to take our lesson from the Italian prophet Malachi tonight. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. If you looked at the bulletin, you'll notice that in the bulletin, the lesson's titled Fallen from Grace. Jim gave me an idea Tuesday night at our Bible study, and that's what I intended to do this week, forgetting that Sunday evening was graduation. So I'm going to put that on the shelf. That's actually what we are going to do next Sunday night. Debbie got it right in the bulletin. I changed my mind at the last minute. Jim reminded me that it's Devo tonight, so I thought I would do a brief devotional geared towards our graduating class, 2018. First of all, congratulations. These are the memories that we live for. You know, Job once said, man who's born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. And it won't take you long before you figure out how true that is. But these are some of the special days in our lives, the days that we mark time by. Adults around you make a big deal of graduation. I didn't know graduation was a big deal until I graduated. Started seeing what a big deal it was to everybody around me. And, oh, what do you know? This is a big deal. You realize you're at a most profound landmark along the way. Graduating, and I'm kind of gearing towards a high school graduation, even though we have some younger and some older, but that's kind of what I had in mind. So there are some things I'd like us to emphasize before we have a party tonight. Number one, welcome to adulthood. Some of those freedoms you've been wanting, they're yours. I'm a fussy eater. I complained every meal that was ever put in front of me. I got a little bit of independence, got a job of my own. Guess what? Started feeding myself. Felt good. What are you eating tonight? Exactly what I want. Came back a year later and I looked like the Michelin man. Big old tire around the middle of me. I'm being serious. I got the fruit of my own way. Started realizing, hey, wait a minute. But a personal responsibility. No wonder mom told me to eat vegetables. No wonder there was fruit at every meal. Need to take this seriously. Got a lot of freedoms, but you got the responsibility that goes along with it. Hate to say this, but guess what? The red lights are following you when you're driving down the street and you have to pull over. They ain't going to call you mom and dad anymore. They're just going to judge you according to the law. And unfortunately, some people learn the hard way that they mean business and that the federal government or the government in general is a terror to evil works. And when we start to get off the path, sometimes they got to help us. I'll tell you one thing I noticed right away. College professors don't yell at you if you don't go to class. You don't go to class, you just decide to stay home. Nobody's after you. Nobody's on you. Nobody's getting in your face. Yeah, they just judge you based on what you've accomplished that semester, period. And guess what? If you didn't do well enough, they may send you a letter saying you don't need to come back next semester. It's kind of neat at 2 in the morning. My boss does not care what I'm doing. He could care less at 2 in the morning. Till he starts noticing that what I'm doing at 2 in the morning is affecting what I'm doing at 9 in the morning. And when it starts to affect his bottom line, guess what? He starts looking for someone else. The world begins to judge you as an adult. You have a lot more freedom of association. You can kind of hang out with who you want. But guess what? You'll wake up one day and you'll judge your choice in friendships by the people you've chosen to associate with. Apostle Paul had something to say about evil companionships. They corrupt good morals. We will make some profound choices about the people that we associate ourselves with, so you get the fruit of the friendships you choose. You start to have less pressure when it comes to you for having to worship the Lord. As you begin to gain freedom, you begin to make that decision on your own. And now we begin to see what kind of faith you have as a full-grown adult. when others aren't pressuring you in the same way they used to. Guess what else you're about to find out? Life is indeed short. You hear that from people when you're younger, and no, it's not. Well, it's not all that short. It's hard to believe that some people say that. Go ahead and make your appointment for your 10-year reunion, because you're going to be amazed the difference between, say, 8 and 10 years old to 18 and 20 years old, and the difference between 18 years old and 28 years old. It's a blink of the eye, and it just keeps rolling faster. And you're not going to believe how soon you will be saying, life is short. I hate to say this to you, it's sobering news, but some of your classmates aren't going to be at your 10-year reunion. It's not going to be there. They're either going to teach you what James said, life is a vapor, appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You're going to learn that firsthand. Moved from Michigan to Florida at the age of 26. Guess what the first reason I had to go back to Michigan was for? One of my high school teammates, college roommates, guy I loved dearly, didn't make it. Life wasn't a vapor for him. He learned what Solomon meant when Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 16, Solomon said, do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? This man died before his time. He was my age. You would have thought he was going to live forever. He didn't. I think about him all the time. Thought about him this week. But you will learn that some of your classmates will fall into that category. And your 10-year reunion, which I promise you, is right around the corner. You're going to start to see the fruits of the parable of Jesus with the talents. When you stop and consider, what do you know? People that all started at the same place in May of 2018, here it is, May 2028, we all started at the same place, but guess what? Some people have built an impressive resume after 10 years. Wow. Really conducted yourself well for a decade. And then there's going to be some other people that you're going to wonder, did you know that you've been freed? You've been let out of the gate? Some people won't embrace that at all. And unfortunately, there's an awful lot of people sometimes that never do find that direction. Some sprint out. And unfortunately, some act like they don't get the memo. Where will you be? Because guess what? Life is short. You know what else it is? It is long. Life can be long. One of the great challenges to where you are at this point in your life is you make some of the most profound decisions. You stop and think about the profound decisions you make right at about this age that affect the rest of your life. Education, how much will you achieve? Work, what will you do for a living? What will get you out of bed in the morning so that you can provide? Where will you work? What kind of intimate associations will you have? Will they be people that help you? Or will they be people that don't help you? Because guess what? Nothing makes life longer than when you get up in the morning and you don't really want to go to where you have to go to make a living. And when you get to the end of that day, you don't want to drive back home to the people that are there. Life can be long when we do that. And so profound decisions are important. One of the reasons Solomon told us to chase after Lady Wisdom in the book of Proverbs, one of my favorite passages, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. I want to take a lesson tonight from the book of Malachi, chapter 1. Kind of show you what I'm talking about here. Malachi, chapter 1. Now remember, the Jews went into Babylonian captivity. They came home and rebuilt Jerusalem, and all things were fine for a while. During the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, they were faithfully following after the Lord. But some time had elapsed by the time Malachi comes. And we see that Israel had lapsed back into some of the unfaithful practices of their past. Look at verse 6. Malachi is an interesting way of talking. It's called the didactic dialectic, is the big fancy term. What that means is he asks a lot of questions he knows people are thinking, then he delivers the answer to them. For instance, look at verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am father, Where is my honor? This is God speaking directly through Malachi. If I am master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar. But you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. What's Malachi complaining about right here? What Malachi is helping us to see is that the Jews, once again, were ignoring what the law of Moses told them about the sacrifices that they're supposed to bring before God. The sacrifices they're supposed to bring before God are one-year-old animals without spot or blemish. What were they offering? They'd look around the flock or the herd and say, well, that one looks like he's about ready to die. Here you go, Lord. And that's what they give him. That's what Malachi, or God through Malachi, is commenting on. You give me the worst of your possessions. Not the first of your possessions. Now, how does that apply to our life here in the church? Well, we need to think about a few things. Number one, we're supposed to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. It's acceptable to God, and it's reasonable service. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Question, how old was Jesus when he was crucified? We don't know, but we do know that John said that his ministry began at about the age of 30. I'm not sure why John chose not to just zero in on the exact number, but about the age of 30. We know that his ministry lasted 3 years before he was finally crucified. 33 years old is a pretty good guess. Without spot or blemish in the prime of his life. Denied all the things that we are looking to acquire at that point in time. Jesus, in the prime of his life, even though he had already spent all of his life being about his Father's business, tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin, he still gave up his life in the prime of life. You know what our prayer is for you young people that are about to discover some of those freedoms on your own? Same prayer David offered for Solomon. As David got to the end of his life and he looked at Solomon, he offered up a prayer to God. It's a most impressive prayer. I like to notice what he didn't pray. What he didn't pray for was that Solomon receive honor, glory, long life, riches, anything like that. You know what David asked for his son Solomon? He said to God, and give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things and to build the temple for which I have made provision. What Solomon or David want for his son Solomon? Just be faithful to the Lord. You know what your parents are going to want when you go to your 10-year high school reunion or 10 years from now? One of the things they're going to know is, did we train you up in the way you should go correctly? Are you still faithful to the Lord? And we want you to have that for yourself. Because guess what we don't want to get to? We don't want to get to the end of life and we realize that when we came to that point in the road where it was a time to gain, acquiring things, we started acquiring things. But we didn't give back to the Lord, and we didn't give our time to the Lord. And we don't want to get to the end of life and realize that we spent the best years of our lives serving ourselves, not serving God. We want you to get to the end of life, no matter what memories you build, and watch as you get older, watch them leave one by one, and then you're left with the same question some of the elderly people around you, and people younger than that too, are thinking to themselves, am I serving the Lord? Am I seeking God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do I put the kingdom of heaven first, God's righteousness first, and let him add all these things to me? Is that how I'm living my life? Because one day, every last one of us will grow old and die and face that same question. So did I really seek God's righteousness? We don't want you to be filled with regret. Because as Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world but lose his own soul? when it's all said and done, how we serve God in this life is all that will matter one day to us. So put God first in all of your requirements as you seek some of those things around you. There's nothing wrong with them so long as we're seeking God first when we do that. And remember, sometimes good is the enemy of the best. Educational pursuits are pretty important to us. I know why I'm doing them. I know what the goal is that I'm trying to accomplish. Yeah, but Mike, it's getting in the way of your service to the Lord. I got to be honest at that moment. My boss is requiring too much of my time. Unfortunately, I'm trying to get ahead and I'm trying to make an impression and I'm trying to build something here. Yeah, but Mike, you got to realize, is your spiritual life suffering? If so, I need to make some adjustments. It's part of the real world of being an adult. When we stay faithful to the Lord as we pursue some of these wonderful things to be pursued. But we don't want to get to the end of life and look back on the best years of our life and say, you know what? I remember Preacher Mike talking about Malachi's improper sacrifices way back in 18. And now it's 50 years later, and that's exactly what I did wrong. And even though the Lord loves you and will accept you if you repent, you'll spend your time in regret, realizing you hadn't stored up treasures in heaven like you ought to. Because guess what? I didn't serve the Lord in my 20s. And at the age of 32, guess what I realized? 15 years wasted on me. I didn't put anything into my spiritual bank account. Brethren, that's what we would have for you. Keep adding deposits to your spiritual bank account. Keep God's kingdom first. Then when we get to the end of life, we look forward to going through the other side where our reward is. Moth, rust, thieves have not touched it. It has accrued and grown with interest. If there's anybody here tonight, young or old, you will never be younger than you are tonight. It's as young as it gets right here. And if you haven't been following the Lord the way you ought to, make amends to the Lord. Repent of your sins, confess the name of Jesus again, recommit your life back to the Lord, or if you've never been baptized into the kingdom, he that believes and is baptized shall be added to the church where all the saved are. The church is where all the saved are. All the worldly acquirements aren't going to matter much if we're not in the church where all the saved are. If you're here tonight and you need to respond, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.